Pray that this is the most important election of your lifetime. When was the last time you heard that? 4 years ago, and 4 years before that, and 4 years before that. Every election's important, one no more than another, and we all need to have a biblical worldview so that we can be salt and light for God's glory. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to read God's word together, and then we'll start our message. You, talking to every born-again believer in Christ, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Heavenly Father, help us as your children to truly be salt and light. Not just this election, but every election you allow us to live through. Father, help us to vote according to your word. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you were to come to me today and say, Pastor, I've got a sin problem in my life. Can you help me? I would immediately try to find out from you what is the sin problem. And then I would take you to the Word of God and show you what God says about that particular problem. Not only the sin, because you already know that, or you wouldn't have come, but what's the solution according to the Word of God? It's so important that we need to use the Word of God. Jesus told the Jewish converts that were coming to him in John 8:31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When I first became a Christian, I had some sins in my life. And my pastor advised me at that time, look in the Bible, find every promise of God that applies to your particular bent to sin, memorize it, hide it in your heart, and the next time Satan tempts you in that, quote him the scripture. Because that's exactly what our Lord Jesus did. When Satan tried to tempt our Lord, he quoted him scripture that applied to that situation. If you know the scriptures, you believe the scriptures, and you obey them, they will set you free of any sin you've got. If you were a man, and you were coming to me and maybe seeking a divorce from your wife, I would immediately try to find out what's the problem in the marriage, and I would take you to God's word and show you what God says about divorce among Christians, in the hopes that you'll come to your senses and say, you know, we have to work this thing out. It'd be easier just to say, adios. But God says he hates divorce. If you were a pastor in our area, and your church was having severe trouble, and you came to me and said, Pastor Jerry, we've got a problem in our church. Can you help us? Again, I would immediately try to find out, what's the problem in your church, and what does God say about that? And try to take you to the Word of God so that you can be set free. However, when we come to the political arena, we forget about the Word of God. When it comes time to vote, this is years ago, this is probably back 16, 20 years ago when I and Tim worked in the shop together, we had an election that year, and both Tim and I were trying to tell people you ought to vote a biblical worldview because you're a Christian. We didn't tell that to the non-Christians. We told it to Christians that were Lutheran and Baptist and Methodist and Catholic, whatever. It didn't matter. But you know what they would tell us, both of us? They'd say, right here, that's what I'm voting for, brother. Well, they voted for it. And what happened? The president they elected started NAFTA. And NAFTA took all the jobs south. Folks, if you're putting your wallet before you're putting your Lord, and you're a believer in Christ, you're totally missing the boat. I'm not saying money's not important. I'm not saying that at all. But if money becomes more important to you than God does, the Bible says you can't serve God and mammon money. You can't do it. You have to make a choice. This year, there are some very clear biblical principles that are found in God's Word as to how you and I should be voting. I'm going to say this a couple times as we go through the message today, but God did not call you to be a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian. God called you and I to be Christians. And as Christians, we ought to be salt and we ought to be light. In 1952, the United States Congress added to the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. In 1898, the United States Supreme Court said this is a Christian nation. Now, they might not say that today. They might not believe that today. But I want to tell you, that's what this nation was founded on. Christian principles. That's why you and I have freedom. Every other form of government takes away your freedom. In this land, you have a lot of rights given. First, I want to read to you Psalm 32:12. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." Now, God only chose, as far as I know, one nation to be his inheritance. That's the nation of Israel. But as far as I know, this nation is the only nation that chose God. We decided we were going to be a Christian nation. We decided that early on. The first thing the new Congress did is they printed Bibles to go out to the military. That's the first thing. Do you suppose Congress today would pass a law to print Bibles? Things have changed, and not for the better. And so I want to read to you again Matthew 5, verse 13, because this is so important. I'm going to read this about three times today, because this is what God wants you to go to the polls with. If you're old enough to vote, you ought to vote. You are the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its saltiness. If you're not like God, if you don't put what God wants first, you've lost your saltiness. He says it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. With the coming election, and it's just about 9 or 10 days away now, it's right on there, coming up quick, I want to take our Bibles and I want to look at a few of the foundational principles that God says, this is how you ought to be voting. I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to tell you which candidate, because that's none of my business. My business is to instruct you in the Word of God so that when you vote, at least you take into consideration, what does God say about this policy or that moral truth? Because this election, a lot of it's based on moral truth. If you don't know the Word of God, you may be voting the wrong way. In 2 Timothy 4:1, many people will not stand, but as a pastor of God, I have to stand on the Word of God. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Folks, we're in that time. We've been in that time for quite a few elections now. You need to know the Word of God and what God says about many of the things that are there. Unfortunately, many Christians have forgotten their role, that we are to be Christ. The word Christian means a Christ-like one. One who represents Christ before others for God's glory. And so if we're going to do that, the first thing we all need is a biblical worldview. A worldview is how you look at the world that you live in. And a biblical worldview is extremely important. And so what we want to do is look at a worldview of government. Who created government in the first place? And why do we need government? In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what's right, and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, angels of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." Folks, it's very important you understand God established government. God established the governments of kings. God established every government there is. Democracy, republic, all of it. God has a reason for government. And that reason is to protect his people. Folks, governments in positions of authority to protect us. Because we all have a sinful nature. We do terrible things. And government's there to keep us in check so that we don't hurt each other. After the fall in the garden, men and women are born with a sinful nature. I know the latest thing is to do away with police protection. But you look at every city they've done that in. Bedlam comes. Folks, government's there for a reason. And it's not to hurt us, it's to help us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, talking about government, he says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sakes to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." God's word tells us that our God controls governments. And you say, wait a minute, does he control communist governments? Yes, he does. He sets limits on how far they can go. God really is in charge of every government in this world. Sovereign means that he's absolutely in control. And he will do exactly what he wants. And he will use governments that even seem to be against him to bring his program to completion. God's already told us how it's all going to wind up. And he wants to use you and I in the process. In Romans 12, 13 again, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." In Proverbs 21, verse 1, "In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him." So it doesn't matter if you have a king or you have a democratic or a republic or a dictatorship. God's in charge. And God will use the men and women that are in charge to do his will. He even used Caesar to bring about the death of our Lord. And you say, wait a minute, God did that? Yes, God did that. That was all part of God's plan. He used an evil leadership to bring about a righteous end. And he'll do the same today. In John 19, 1, Jesus answered to Pilate, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm glad we've got a God that's in control. It doesn't matter who gets the election. God will use it for his glory somehow. He's going to use good government and bad government to bring about the end of what he wants. So if the one that gets elected isn't the one you wanted, don't despair. God's still in charge. It's going to be okay. If God has it all figured out, and God already knows how it's going to wind up, why do you have to vote? And a lot of Christians don't vote, believe it or not. A lot of born-again Christians, last election, the number that I heard was 30 million born-again Christians did not vote last election at all. Maybe they have that fatalistic idea that since God's in charge, I don't have to do anything. Folks, you're here to be salt and you're here to be light. You're here to make a stand for Christ and his glory. You're here to make a difference. And if you stop being salty, if you stop being involved in your community and you're not affecting your community for good, then you're going to be part of the problem. What God wants to do is use all of us. When it comes to salvation, God has his part and we have our part. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, talking about salvation now. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. Folks, people use that verse to say, then I don't have to witness. If God already chose everybody that's ever going to be saved before the creation of the world, why should I take my time and witness to people? It's simply because God chose to do it through you and I. He didn't choose to do it just that way. He chose to do it through his people. Because in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, he explains how the two work together. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed your message? Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. You see, God already chose before the foundation of the world I was going to be his son. No question about it. But about 52 years ago, a man knocked on my door and said, hi, I'm Pastor Jeff Williams. Your sister sent me to talk to you because she loves you. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I had to tell him, no, I don't know. But he came in and he gave me the word of God clearly like I'd never heard it before. And suddenly a light went on my head. This is what I've always wanted. You see, God chose me, but Pastor Williams, the one that brought the word to me. And the two together. God knows how this election is going to come out. This is all planned before the foundation of the world. But God wants to use you in this election to make a difference. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says we are co-workers in God's service. Folks, it's an honor that you can join Christ in the work of not only salvation, but helping this country to be godly. Your vote does make a difference. I know the end is already there, but God is using you to bring about that end. And if you're not salty and you're not light, if you don't even take time to care enough to cast a vote, you're missing an important part of your Christian life. We need a biblical worldview for living. Specific reason God has invested his light in us is that we can show his light to the world. That means as Christians, we have to have a biblical worldview that we live out. What you think is right and wrong, your purpose in life, what you're supposed to be doing, what happens after this, if it's not based on the Word of God, it's human conjecture. It's whatever you think. But if you have a biblical worldview, you'll think like God thinks. Again, in Matthew 5, verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Again, God has not called you to be a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian or a Green Party guy or gal. He's called you to be a Christian. When you look at a vote, you're supposed to be saying, Lord, according to your word, who's going to make more of a difference in our country for your glory? Not for my pocketbook, not because I need to take care of inflation or not because I'm worried about the national debt, but Lord, who's going to bring you the most glory in these areas? Which one is the better one? A biblical worldview. You know, everybody has a worldview. Most people, their worldview is this is all about me. It's about my happiness in the short lifetime that I have. For the young people here, 70, 80 years seems like a long time. But for the older people here, you know, it's not very long, boy. And you're like, whoosh, she's a goner. I can't believe we're almost in November already. It seems like I just paid my taxes. And here I am again. I want to tell you, a biblical worldview helps you to know where you came from. Who am I? You know, most people today in our country believe they just evolved. They're an accident. Folks, you're not an accident. A biblical worldview tells you, where am I going when this life is over? Most people think when it's over, it's like a Monopoly game. You close the box, game's over, that's it. That's not it. The Bible makes it very clear. Two places we're going. At the end of your life, you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. There's no in between. You have to have that. How should I live my life? Does God exist or is he just a myth? A biblical worldview will show you very clearly. God does exist. He's my creator God. He made me for his glory. He works in my heart to make me like him so that I can be salt and light for his glory. And it's extremely important to have that. It's the foundation on which we go from. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Before we go on, I just want to mention, our society is not based on a biblical worldview. Our whole society is sex-crazed, and they want you to be crazy about sex too. Not just sex the way the Bible says it should be, but all kinds of sexual activity. And that's pretty important in this election. We'll get to it in just a minute. Each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that's holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins as we've told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Folks, today, sex is becoming a craze in our country. They're teaching your children in grade school, even in kindergarten, sexual things about homosexuality. You need to have a vote in that when you're voting for your local school board, when you vote for your state school board. You need to know where they stand on that. If you don't know where they stand on that, do you realize in our society today, you can go to jail, and many people are going to jail? Because they're prayerfully assembling in front of an abortion clinic. All they're doing is praying. They're not talking to people. They're not doing anything. They're simply standing there praying. They can be arrested. But a teacher in school can teach your children. They're not a boy or a girl. They can be whatever they want to be. and that homosexuality, sex, is wonderful, and everybody ought to examine it. Folks, we need to realize what's going on. Our nation is being taken away from Christ and given as a pagan nation. We need to be that salt and light. We need a biblical worldview as we face life and as we face this election. Our method of involvement as believers should be participants, not just sidestand viewers. We're in a war, whether you know it or not. We've been in a war, but this war is getting hotter. If people that claim Christ don't stand up pretty quick, your children and your grandchildren are not going to grow up in a nation like we've known. They're going to lose their freedoms. We cannot go on the way we are. So when we vote the issues on a biblical worldview, we need to look at homosexual marriage. That's happened in my lifetime. We need to look at state-sponsored gambling. That's happened in our lifetime. We need to look at many of the other things, restrictions on pornography, but not in schools. They're teaching this stuff in schools. It's amazing to me. We need to stand against activist judges that are legislating from the judicial branch. They're trying to pack the Supreme Court now. In other words, since the founding of our country, we've had 9 chief justices on the United States Supreme Court. They want to increase the number so they can change the way it votes. Folks, we have to stand against those kinds of things. It's our responsibility to stand up. So why do we stand up? And I haven't mentioned abortion yet, but I'm going to right now. Why should you care about abortion? Because God cares about abortion. In Psalm 139, verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Our God is our creator. That little one in a mother's womb, you can call it a fetus if you want to, but fetus just means a little one. It's a little baby. I don't care what people say, if you have a biblical worldview, that little one being formed in the mother's womb is a baby boy or a baby girl. When we vote for people that are for abortion, we're not being salt and light. I mentioned that our nation was based on Christian principles. Let me read you what our Constitution says. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Our ancestors did not believe in evolution one bit. They believed in creation. That they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness." And the wonderful thing about our country, every 4 years, you get a chance to totally transform the federal government in our country. You have the right. We don't have to rebel. We don't have to take up arms. We can vote the rascals out. They're destroying our homes. They're destroying our families. I want to show you a little slide right now, if you can read it, and it's a little difficult. But if you kill a preborn sea turtle, they'll charge you a $100,000 fine, and you will spend a year in jail. If you kill a preborn bald eagle, they'll fine you $250,000, and you'll spend 2 years in prison. Why? Because that preborn turtle in that egg is a turtle. And that preborn eaglet is an eagle. But you can abort a child and there's no penalty. In fact, you get paid. Why? Because our nation does not have a biblical worldview. That's not a baby until it's born. Folks, there are people committing abortions today in our nation with an 8.5 month baby. That's a baby. I don't care what you say. That's a baby. And we have to stand up. When we talk about homosexuality, there's a huge push for this. We just had legalized marriage for homosexuals. In fact, in some states, I forget the state right now, but there's a state right now that if you take a strong stand against homosexual marriage, you can't teach in the public school system. And I can look that up for you if you want me to, but there's a state right now that you cannot teach in the public school systems unless you go along with homosexual rights. What does the Bible say about that? It's important that you know that. A lot of people say, well, it was just forbidden in the Old Testament, never in the New Testament. Let me take you to Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but to approve of those who practice them. Homosexuality is forbidden, Old Testament and New. You can say, well, that's not what they taught me in school. They aren't going to teach that in public schools anymore. That's what they did teach in public schools years ago, but not today. That's why we need to vote. You need to get people out of office that are pushing things that God says is sin, because it's destroying people's lives. We're here as God's representatives. We're here to be salt and light. Let your light shine. Not so people say, wowzers, what a person, but so people will say, wow, what a God they serve. He loves people. He cares about people. So in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings up evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Be careful with this election, folks. Pray to God for his wisdom. I just voted. Mine's already turned in. Folks, I didn't vote just Republican. I didn't vote just Democrat. I voted for those people who would stand for Christ. There are Democrats that stand for life. There are Democrats that stand for what's right, but there's a lot of them that don't. You need to look at what they're voting for. What's their record? What are they pushing for? If they're pushing for godly things, we're all for it. I just want to encourage you. Don't put your party first. Put Christ first. You'll be salt and you'll be light. Father, we're grateful for your word. Father, help us to have a biblical world view, not just for elections, but for everyday life as well. That, Lord, we might be able to help people that are struggling to know the truth. Because we know you, and we've studied your word. We know what you tell us is important. Father, help us to vote according to what you tell us, not according to our conscience, but according to your word. And Father, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.